Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography in the land of Israel and, you know, also around the Middle East. And we talk about current events and so many other things that are happening there in that region of the world. Today, we're going to talk about an incredible ministry and organization in Israel that is doing so much to love and serve the Jewish people in a lot of different ways. It's a very unique ministry and organization there. And I've known the head of this ministry for quite a while now. I'm talking about Wayne Hilsden. Dr. Wayne Hilsden is co-founder of King of Kings Community in Jerusalem. It's a multifaceted ministry, Messiah-centered, spirit-empowered, disciple-making community that reveals the true face of Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus. And they do this not just to Israel, but to the entire nations. And Wayne, you are also the president of FIRM. We're going to talk about that. What in the world is FIRM? Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries and what that organization does. It is so good to see your brother here in the United States.
Awesome to see you, John. Love what you do. I wish I had your radio voice, but I'll do my best.
Well, you always do a great job. I mean, you have pastored for years and years and years. You have such a love for the Word of God and for the Jewish people, for the land of Israel. And a lot of people may not know about King of Kings. And then we mentioned Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. So just give us a quick synopsis of what you guys do there in the land and really around the world.
My wife and I and our two kids arrived in Israel in 1983. Initially, just had a sense that we were called to establish a congregation in the heart of Jerusalem. And so we did. It was just a little Bible study in a small apartment, which grew into what is now King of Kings Community, and now a network of 15 congregations around the nation of Israel. And so we've really just felt that the local congregation, the local church, is a place not only to preach the gospel, but to make disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. And so that's key. I'm still a pastor in that way. I turned over the senior pastor role 10 years ago, and he's 22 years younger than me and doing a fantastic job. Then, at the point where I handed off the baton to him, it was time to start what I already had on my heart for a number of years, which is FIRM, Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. And the goal of FIRM, and we state it clearly right on the front page of our website, is to see every person in Israel transformed by the love of Yeshua. So that can happen in word, but also deed. We show the gospel, we tell the gospel, and we do it in a way that blesses not just our own ministry. In fact, we see FIRM as a servant ministry. We help facilitate and empower other ministries. And so over the 41 years that I've lived in Israel, I've done my best to make friends, have relationships with trust, and so we've helped to bring over 75 ministries that are based in Israel together to collaborate, to do better together, not to compete, but to work together for the glory of God.
You know, what's amazing about what you just shared about the Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries is that, again, you bring all of these ministries together, over 75 of them there in the land of Israel. And these are ministries that are doing good things there in the land of Israel. And they're impacting Israel. They're touching the lives of Jewish people. And also part of the mission of FIRM is to give me and others who are listening an opportunity to connect with these ministries so that they can know wisely who to support. Because, you know, there's a lot of ministries, like, I don't know if I should support this ministry in Israel or that ministry in Israel. You know, there's a lot of needs, and I don't know who I can trust or not. And you guys do the homework for us. Thank you.
Yeah, we want to be able to endorse and tell the story of a ministry that is effective and it's got integrity. So what happens is we invite ministries to apply to be part of our network, and we look at their governance to make sure that there's accountability. We look at their financial integrity. We look at their theology. We don't want to endorse heretics, so they've got to be biblically based, theologically sound. We look at their legal status in the country and that they're regularly reporting to the government of Israel with their finances and the work that they do. People from around the world can know, hey, if I'm going to sow into that ministry, it's good ground, there's going to be fruit. And I think that's been helpful to a lot of people around the world.
It has been extremely helpful. And I hear from people all the time, hey, John, do you know of a good organization, a good ministry that I can sow into in Israel? And I'm like, I just happen to know several. And so let me send you to this website. And the website is firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. And when you go there, you're going to find all these different ministries that we're talking about here. And they can contact these ministries, they can reach out to them, and they can know with confidence that these ministries have been vetted out a little bit. And just as you said, so it's you're providing a great service to the entire world, to Christians who love the Jewish people in the land of Israel. I really appreciate what you guys are doing with Firm.
And I want to add this, that yes, primarily the ministries are related to Jewish work, but we have some Arab ministries as well. Now, if they apply, they have to sign a statement of faith, and it has to include that they believe that the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel is a work of God. Not every maybe ministry can sign off on that easily, but the ones that do will look seriously at them and bless them and help them as well.
Well, so many things going on, and with King of Kings, there's a lot of aspects to that ministry. We may get into some of that as we continue this conversation here on the Middle East Report. You're doing a lot there in the land. Thank you for all your efforts. We want to talk about some of the, you know, the current things that are happening there in the land of Israel. You know, the pain and trauma that families are going through in Israel is just unbearable. I mean, you live in Israel. Of course, you're connected to the Jewish people. You see this October 7th, 2023, the horrific massacre that took place, and then the wars that Israel has been facing. Listen, families have been going through a lot. So give us your sense of how the families are doing there in Israel.
Yeah, it's really hard. You know, the fact that these hostages are being released very slowly, it's a national mourning that we're going through. And it's a challenge. And we're trying to do our best to help. And we help in very practical ways with the material needs of people that suffer. We have counseling centers around Israel. We now have four. They're called the Anchor of Hope. And we started with one in Jerusalem, and then we moved to Tel Aviv, and then one in Benyamina, which is near between Haifa and Tel Aviv. And now we just opened one 2 weeks ago in Haifa. And so we're helping with families that are going through difficulties.
They're going through so much there in Israel. And yet, you know, what I see, too, is that the Jewish people, the Israelis, are very resilient people. Like, they're not going anywhere. You know, they're not, okay, we have a war and it's terrible. I'm leaving the country. I'm out of here. Bye. No, they're staying there. They're together as a people. It just amazes me to see the resilience of the Jewish people.
Yeah, let me give you an example of that very close to home. So my wife one day got on a bus to meet somebody downtown in Jerusalem. This is going back when the Intifada was happening. They were blowing up buses and restaurants, and people were afraid to even walk on the streets of Jerusalem. She was about to get on a bus with our son, Jonathan. I heard this huge explosion. I went to our balcony and looked over the edge, and there was a bus that had just blown up. Well, Anne was down at the bus stop. I thought she was on that bus. And then I get a call from her on my cell phone, and she said, Wayne, what's going on? I see all these ambulances coming. I said, well, a bus just blew up, but I thought you were on that bus, and thank God she wasn't. And my son, Jonathan, said, I've never taken a taxi to school before. So she told the person who had called her and said, yeah, I came to Jerusalem early. Hey, can you get here a little quicker? And she said, well, whatever comes first, the bus or a taxi. She got in a taxi and was spared. 17 people died on that bus. What happened? The rest of the day, you know, she was downtown. She came home on a bus this very same day. And so we're very much part of that resilient spirit in Israel, you know. And you know, when they were blowing up restaurants, you'd see they'd fix it. And by the next morning, people are sitting at the table ordering food. You know, it's just this defiant or resilient spirit that we're not going to let these things stop life. And that's Israel.
That's Israel, because if you let the terror and all the things happen, it would just drive you crazy and, you know, to depression. And then you would just, I don't know what would happen, you know, if you allowed that to happen. But the Israeli people don't do that. It's not to say, obviously, as we shared just a few moments ago, that the Israeli people are going through trauma and heartache, and they are, and they need our prayers. They need our support. By the way, this is what King of Kings does. This is what Firm Israel does. So go to that website, firmisrael.org. You can find out more about these amazing ministries there in Israel. But this is what you guys do. You guys support these ministries and the Jewish people there in the land of Israel. So I really do appreciate what you guys do there to help so many there in the land. Let's talk about Gaza. Oh my goodness. Just to see what has happened, you know, recently with the release of hostages. And then, of course, we've had the recent events of these two precious babies who were murdered in Gaza. I mean, it's horrific. And the mom who, of course, as well. And then all of these hostages that are being paraded across, you know, the stage in, and I understood, Wayne, that with mom, the mom of these two beautiful little babies, these twins, at first they sent a body into Israel. It wasn't the mom. It was somebody from Gaza. And then, you know, they said, oh, sorry, my bad. It's horrific. It is demonic.
Absolutely. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but the Hamas charter, when they were established, has a quote from the Muhammad concerning the end times, and that one day they will kill Jews. And from that basis, they've said, well, Israel needs to be eliminated, and are claiming that Israel really had even no historical roots in the land, denying even presence in Jerusalem, which is totally ridiculous, against history. And then radical Islam expressing that Jews don't have a right to the land and to a life. So that's why they chant from the river to the sea. Some people who chant that don't know which river and which sea, but what they mean is from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, there's no room for Jewish people. And that's the reality Israel's dealing with. So, you know, Israel has faced an existential threat. And it wasn't just Hamas. You know, as soon as Hamas did what they did, Hezbollah, another radical, this time Shiite, a Muslim group, decided to stand with Hamas. And so they attacked from Lebanon. And Israel had to deal with Lebanon, had to deal with Gaza, had to deal with now with Judea and Samaria. And then, of course, Iran. And now, and the Houthis, and sometimes from Iraq and Syria. I mean, Israel has never faced that kind, those odds. You know, God and Israel are a majority, and they can handle it.
They can handle it, and we have to go back to that covenant that God made with Abraham thousands of years ago, you know, for the land. And he's not going to take back that covenant that he gave to the Jewish people. And so people forget that.
Yeah, and that was a unilateral covenant that God made. You know, you look at Genesis chapter 15. It's a very strange, mysterious covenant making that God made with Abraham, where it talks about God in the form of a fiery pot walking between cut pieces of meat. And by the way, in the Middle East, that represents, okay, the covenant is so serious that if you break covenant, you're getting cut. You know, I mean, it's a serious matter, you know, like those animals have been cut in pieces. And it was only God walking through. It wasn't God and Abraham making covenants, God making a unilateral, unbreakable covenant with Israel. And it concerned the land, not just that God would bless Abraham and he would bless the nations, but the land would be a land that Abraham and his descendants possess. And by the way, well, some will say, well, Abraham, yeah, but he also had a son, Ishmael. So yeah, why do you say Jews? Well, the same covenant of land was promised to Isaac and to Jacob. So that line God established, whether you like it or not, he's made a covenant with the people of Israel that this is their land.
It is their land, and the Jewish people are not going anywhere. And going back to Gaza, our current president, Donald Trump, says he wants to own Gaza. So we have that in the news right now. There's a lot of questions on what's going to happen in Gaza, you know, after this war is over. We know that the Gazans have just been bred with hatred, and it's so sad. They need Jesus. They need the transforming power and work of the Lord in their lives. But Trump wants to own Gaza. And you know what I've told people, Wayne, is this. Trump doesn't own Gaza. The Jewish people don't own Gaza. God owns the entire land of Israel, because that's the way it is, and that's what the Bible says. But God gave that covenant, that lease to the Jewish people for the land of Israel forever, for them to take care of it. It's not going to be revoked. It's not going to be returned. So, you know, how do we look at all this? You know, who's going to own Gaza? What's going to happen in Gaza? What does God say about the land of Israel?
Well, it is interesting that in a number of places, and I think of Ezekiel in particular, where, yes, God owns the land, but on many occasions he said, your land. And so it's an interesting, now I like the term you used was lease of the land, okay? So the landlord is God, but the right of residence is given to the Jewish people, unlike any other people. They're not paying rent. It's by grace and grace alone that they get to do this. But they do have stewardship of that property. They can't mess up the apartment or the land that they live on. They've got to be good stewards of what God has put in their hands.
Yeah, and that's our prayer, that they will continue to do that. And boy, it's just been a tough road for the Jewish people. There's no doubt about that. This is a difficult question, but how do you see this war in Gaza, you know, coming to a conclusion? Everybody's asking that question. You know, who's really going to govern Gaza? The Arab countries are talking about, you know, going in there and pouring a bunch of money in there. And my thoughts on that are, well, it's going to be difficult because the citizens there were also part of October 7, so I don't know how you change all that. So it's a hard place to be.
In the natural, it's impossible, to be honest. The reality is the ideology is not something you can destroy through military means. And unfortunately, we're seeing the next generation, and that includes 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, carrying weapons, being trained to be soldiers at that age. And of course, I'm sure most people have seen pictures of these children that are being indoctrinated and indoctrinated in hate of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. So that's not going to go away. Now, when Trump, you know, presents his desire to own Gaza, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, but I think in one way, as a good negotiator, this is my starting position. If you don't like it, you come up with your idea. And I think the Arab nations roundabout actually have to come up with something. And the answer is not status quo, because another October 7th will happen again. We've had the status quo for a long time, and rockets continue to come, and they'll do the same thing again. So something radical has to change.
You know, talking about something radical that has to change, we've seen in the history of the Jewish people how God has just done miracle after miracle. We know and we believe that God's hand is over Israel. We also know that there's spiritual warfare. I mean, how do we see the spiritual warfare, you know, that's going on there in Israel right now?
Well, we see it right in the scriptures. There was prophecy about peoples that would continually come against Israel. Ultimately, it's inspired by Satan himself, who believes that he deserves to be on the throne of the world and even from Jerusalem. And it's a spiritual motivation, and he has his demons and he has his spiritual forces that are coming against us. Spiritual warfare is real. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the high places. So that's the reality we're in. Thank God we've read the end of the story. We know who wins, but there are battles before the end of the war. And we've been fighting battles and some losing battles, especially, I would say, in the media. Israel has not done well in that field. We've had tremendous military victories, as demonstrated in the last year and a half. But we've been losing it in the media. So thank God for your radio efforts and getting the truth out to the world. But this war is going to continue. I'm talking now a spiritual battle. It'll take many different forms. And we just have to keep fighting. We have to stand for truth.
Well, and that's what we, as people who love the Jewish people in the land of Israel, can do. We can stand with them. We can pray and just believe God for, you know, what he needs to do there and what he wants to do there in the land of Israel. And, you know, you guys with King of Kings and Firm Israel, you guys believe in prayer. In fact, I think you've kind of dedicated an upper part of one of your ministries to praying, you know, for Israel.
Yes. In fact, so it was 20 years ago that we built what was a former movie theater into a beautiful sanctuary of praise. That was our King of Kings sanctuary. And then we bought many other properties in the same facility, including what you said, the top floor of this office tower where our sanctuary is. And so we've dedicated this space for prayer. We call it the Summit. And we have this incredible perch from which we see the old city of Jerusalem. We see the Mount of Olives on one side. We look at the other side, it's the Knesset and the Supreme Court and all these government buildings. And then right below us is Mea Shearim, the most ultra-Orthodox neighborhood in the whole world. And we don't run out of prayer points, I can tell you. So we're praying for the government, as we're told to do by Paul the Apostle. We're praying for the religious community. And what's interesting about that is that one of the final things that Jesus said to the religious leaders in Jerusalem was, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Jesus is saying to them, Jerusalem, until you invite me back, I'm not coming. And so we just believe in a great revival. And so we look out our window at religious leaders and believing that they will invite him back. There's going to be a great end time revival. We believe it's promised in Romans 11, and all Israel shall be saved. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will take away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we pray in that direction. Pray with confidence. Pray according to the Word of God.
Do you offer people a newsletter that they can get on? And I think FIRM does that, Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries. I think you guys have an email list that people can get on and they can get information. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So if you just go to our website, so that's firmisrael.org. There's a place to subscribe to our newsletter. And King of Kings, the same. So our King of Kings network is kkm.network, kkm.network. So KKM stands for King of Kings Ministries, and we have more than 40 ministries that are part of that, 15 congregations and then other ministries. So we have networks upon networks, and you sign up for a newsletter there too.
Yeah, sign up for the newsletter. I'm actually on the Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries newsletter. And of course, Michael is the head of that, one of your staff members, and he does a great job for that organization in what you guys do. And, you know, I always get so encouraged when his email comes to me because it's just a lot of good stuff in it, you know, and always encouraging, always pointing you how to pray for Israel. So if you're wondering, well, how can I pray for Israel? Get on one of these email lists so that way, you know, you can know how to do that. Do you guys need financial support?
Yeah. In terms of giving, we obviously have a giving page, and of course they can get, you know, tax credit for that. We're based both in America and Canada, and we have some other ways to give around the world as well, or directly through Israel. So if they just go to those web pages, the giving pages has all the details. And we have something called the tribe, which is interesting. And so these are people who commit monthly to give. And we have over 2,000 tribe members. And they're just committed month after month giving.
You know, as you're listening today, I just want to encourage you to connect with King of Kings, Fellowship of Israel-Related Ministries, and what they do. And especially go to firmisrael.org, firmisrael.org. Because you're going to find out about all kinds of other ministries you can connect with, and there's just a lot of opportunities to engage with the Jewish people. So many ways to get involved, to bless the Jewish people in this very challenging time. And Wayne, as always, thank you for joining me today here in the Middle East Report. I sure appreciate that.
It's an awesome privilege.
As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to share with you a short message from Dr. Baruch Korman, who is the head of Love Israel, a beautiful ministry that offers you Bible teaching verse by verse. You can find out more when you go to loveisrael.org. That's loveisrael.org. And I think you're going to be encouraged by the words of Dr. Baruch Korman.
We need to be people that pay attention to every word in the scripture. And many times people are too casual or simply do not pay the attention that they should to what the Word of God literally says. I want us to think for a moment about a very important scripture from the book of Exodus, something that took place on Mount Sinai after the people heard the Ten Commandments. Now, when we look at the Word of God, most scripture will say something along these lines. that the people, they heard the thunderings and the lightning flashes that took place. But when we look at the Word of God, it says that Moses told the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you." Well, I would suggest to you that it does not say in the Hebrew that God has come to test you. When we look at this word in the literal Hebrew, it's a word that means a supernatural experience. And when we check out the context of that passage, I believe that interpretation is clearly confirmed. Because what does God want to do to the children of Israel at this important place, Mount Sinai? He wants to bring about a change in their life. And if we're going to be truly servants of God, we need to change. And we can't change in and of ourselves. We need help from the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a unique situation that shows that God is able to bring change into his people's life. When we look at this, and I'm reading from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, when the word of God says to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come," literally to give you a supernatural experience. And what is that supernatural experience? The word in Hebrew is nesot. It's a combination of the word for experience and the word nes, which means miraculous. And God wants the people to do two things. To know his will, it says here that the fear of the Lord would be upon their face, meaning that they would always be in the right direction, basing their life upon the principles and the purposes of God. And what's the second thing? That they would not be able to sin. Isn't that what we want? That we want the power of God to be in our life, for us to have such an experience with the living God that we are changed by him so that we can never sin, but we can do his will. And it's only in his will that we find his blessings, his love, his faithfulness. So if you want to be in the will of God, if you want to know his miraculous provision, then seek his change in your life, and he will give you that miraculous change, that living experience to be a servant of God. There's where we find joy, there's where we find contentment, and there's where we find God's intimacy in our life. God can do the miraculous if we seek him with all of our heart.
Thanks for listening to the Middle East Report. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. Also, you can go to afr.net and download the podcast there. Thanks for listening.